Well, this is it. We are back live, NRL Live, episode 30. Big show lined up for you today. Semi-final results and games breakdowns. The controversy amongst the video referee. We'll look at the benefit of doubt rule. Should it go away or change the defensive team? Also, we'll discuss whether Bill Harrigan and Stuart Raper should keep their jobs for next year. We've got the season review of Canberra Raiders and North Queensland Cowboys, plus the preview for grand final qualifying finals, I should say. And World of Sport special edition, seeing it's our third last show, Tigers MS is going to do a best of. Speaking of the man, he is with us today. How are you, mate?
Good, how are you?
Doing very well. A lot of controversy regarding the West Tigers. We'll talk about that in West Tigers Live, a special edition episode. You can also download at www.fullygsports.com. And, of course, we've got Pete with us. St. Peter, how are you, mate?
Yeah, really good, Pete. Guys, how are you?
Very good, very good. And, of course, you're heading down to see the Dragons play in the under-20s qualifying.
Have the grand final qualifier, so great effort.
Yeah, it should be a good one. And guys, let's get straight into it. Finals, Friday night, Manly defeated the Cowboys 22-12. Huge controversy amongst that game. We'll talk about that in a very short moment. And of course, on the Saturday night, Souths 38, far too good for Canberra 16. And the two games involved for the under-20s, those Dragons, we just spoke about, 44-20 victors over the minor premiers Bulldogs, so they were bang, bang out of there, as were the second place Warriors. They went down to the Sydney Roosters 26-10. Pete, I'll start with you. Obviously, Friday night, a massive game, but those two decisions have really put a black mark on what was otherwise a pretty good game.
I agree. The Cowboys, I'm sorry, but that decision to give the try where four and clearly knock the ball on is one of the most disgraceful decisions I've seen in my time watching rugby league. How these referees, seriously, how they can get it wrong after replaying it. I was watching the game on TV, Phil Gould and Ray Warren commentating, and they're saying, well, there's a clear knock on here from four, and clearly off his hand it's a knock on. And they said, well, why are we going any further forward? I'm absolutely astounded, and I believe the video referees of that night were sacked, and rightly so.
They were. We'll discuss that when we go through our regular segment. Tigers MS, is there even any point talking about the match, or were the Cowboys, as Jonathan Durston said, on the field, robbed?
I don't think they were robbed. What I do think was robbed was an awesome finish to the game.
Mm. Yeah.
To be honest, Manly were ahead at that stage. The first double movement 50-50 call, I was happy to go with the ref there, but the second one was just horrible and fair dinkum. I don't know what they are watching or what they're looking for, but everyone in the entire world could see. You had some people on the space station say that was a knock-on.
You could tell. There was an angle where it was very obvious that it was a knock-on because it was going in one direction off Thurston and then it detoured to a different direction.
You can see it coming off his hand.
It
doesn't matter what angle you're at. You can see his hand up against Thurston's. And, Thurston's not going to knock it back. You know what I mean? He's not going up with an inverted wrist to flick it back to his line. He's going up there just to try and grab the ball.
I think it actually went forward off him and then forward off Foran. But, I mean, it's by the by because somehow...
Well, regardless, it should have been stopped.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought it was a scrum feed to Manly 10 out or so, where the knock-on, as you said, forward off Thurston, but Foran clearly knocked that ball on.
And common sense would have given that decision 100 times out of 100. Unfortunately, that doesn't apply under the current referee system, and that's what we're going to discuss afterwards. But Manly, I thought, going back to on-field, they certainly came back, and obviously having Jamie Lyon there, even though he wasn't fully fit, he was very good again. And George Tafua, he had an outstanding game on the wing. Pete?
He did put in some great runs there, particularly late in the game where the Cowboys were putting on some pressure. you know, 30, 40 meter runs there, and he's been a real find for him this year, actually, Tafua. And you know, both the captains of the game coming up this weekend commented on Tafua today, actually, and he's a good player. Although there was that controversial decision, also the person complained about on field where Tafua did appear to at least knock the ball on, if not ground the ball in his own in goal. And the referee didn't see it that way. But anyway, that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, yeah. Look, he did. I thought he played well, obviously. I thought that try, you know, it was definitely a 50-50, so I guess that one, you know, fair enough. But, you know, like you were saying, controversy enough on that decision, let alone the one after it. Tigers MS moving to Saturday night, and your dark horse team, the Raiders, finally bowing out. They had a pretty good run of it, but South's just too big, too fast, too strong on the night.
Yeah, Canberra, I think the comment from a few of them was they were overawed by the situation. They weren't happy with their game, and I think that looked like it was. Souths are just making yards far too easy against a team who, in the past couple of weeks, were defending, you know, pretty well in patches and in most games. And I mean, just taking the Cronulla game, they did defend very well.
It's a different story, finals footy. I mean, when you week one, it's funny, since they went from the top five to the top eight, week one is almost like it's bigger than the main thing, but it's not quite finals yet. And a team like Canberra getting a home game, they're totally insulated, I should say, from finals footy and the pressure of that, because it's all home grown. And, you know, I was down there that weekend, and the radio stations were getting behind it, the TV obviously was behind it, and everyone was behind it, and it was easy for them to kind of stay on that bandwagon. But the week later, you come up to Sydney and suddenly you're hit, and it's massive here right now, obviously, the media attention to the final series. And, you know, Souths are getting a fair chunk of that, because they're kind of the darling boys of the media right now, the darling team for Sydney, because it has been so long since they've done this well. And I think suddenly they realised, oh, you know, this is huge. This game's massive. And, you know, they're a bunch of younger players, really. They're a young team. And like you say, the occasion got a bit much for them. But Pete, you picked Souths to win, and obviously you probably thought, like me, it was going to be a bit closer, but the way Souths play, was that more what you would have expected from them maybe the week before and what we might see this week?
I think so. I think it's been fairly typical of South Sydney's form this year, built on the back of a big solid forward pack, great control there by Adam Reynolds. I thought he played quite well the other night, certainly probably one of his worst games of the year against Melbourne, and he played then very well against Canberra. A brilliant tactical kick there in towards the end of the game. Middle of the game was pretty much sewn up. Put the ball.
Did anyone think that that Everingham was offside on that last kick? I know it didn't matter, but to me, it looked like he was a couple of steps in front.
I thought he was line ball. I can't remember exactly the replay, but I thought he was line ball. It was pretty close, so I think.
Yeah, sorry, go on.
Yeah, no, that's all right. But no, I thought, you know, South Sydney just continued on after the hiccup, you might say, against Melbourne, and I think it'll be really good for them for this coming weekend. They'll improve again against the Bulldogs.
It'll be a massive match, and we'll discuss it very shortly on the show. This is NRL Live, and of course you can download us at www.paulygsports.com or West Tigers Live, for that matter, a very special edition of the show that's on this week with both Tigers MS and myself. Tigers MS, you can follow him at Twitter, TigersMS78, and myself at PaulyGSports. Guys, let's move on to this controversy amongst the video referee. The referees have had it all year, particularly the bosses, Bill Harrigan and Stuart Raper. It's been one thing after the other. And obviously now the benefit of the doubt rule is a major attention. North Queensland, the opportunity for them to win the game and progress in the finals was taken away from them by two pretty doubtful decisions, obviously, and the second one ridiculously so. We're going to ask the question whether it should go away or change to the defensive team, which Bill Harrigan himself is suggesting should happen. But personally, I mean, I thought that when you're talking about benefit of the doubt, you're talking specifically to grounding of the ball. I've never seen it interpreted like it was on Friday night, where they've gone back through the play and decided that, well, leading up to the play, there was a there was a call, we're going to apply benefit of the doubt to that. Tigers MS has an ex-referee of the ARL rule book, obviously, which the NRL go off to the most part. Is that the same sort of feeling that you had as to me, that the benefit of the doubt rule should apply to the grounding?
Look, I think the benefit of the doubt rule shouldn't apply to anything. It's either a try or it's not a try.
Agreed.
You just can't have... the benefit of the doubt means they're not sure, but, hey, we'll just give you a try anyway. That's the massive kick in the teeth for a defensive team.
Look, I think we're all agreed. It's a stupid rule. Like, there really isn't any other way to state it. We all agree we hate the rule. But I guess what I'm asking is, under the interpretation or under the letter of the law, benefit of doubt, have now they've just gone, to me, they've gone this massive step. They've said, before we were applying it, like, did he ground it? Or was he held up? Or what, you know, like, if we're not sure, let's apply the benefit of doubt. He might have knocked on the moment he was putting it down. Let's apply that benefit of doubt. I mean, this had nothing to do with the putting down of the ball. Surely they can make a decision that it's a knock on and not have to use benefit of doubt at that scenario. And if they can't see it, isn't that what refs calls for? I guess that's what I'm asking, Pete.
Yeah, I think they have applied that benefit of the doubt to try to not only grounding, but also, as you say, you know, going back through the plays, and also they've had a few where there's, I'm sure they've had a few where there's been a possible obstruction, where they've called it benefit of the doubt. I agree. If they are going to have benefit of the doubt, it's just benefit of the doubt as whether you get the ball down or not. You can't have it. You can't have it going in. It's either a shepherd or it's not. It's either an obstruction or it's not an obstruction. Someone was either fouled or they weren't fouled. I don't think you can sit on the fence. You either get the ball down or you don't get the ball down. So, yeah. It's a tough call.
Look, I will say this, is that it's not umpiring, it's not cricket, you know, where there's a black and white rule and it can be enforced black or white, and then you have a clear benefit of the doubt. It's refereeing. Any position where you've got a referee, whether it be, you know, football as in the world's game, soccer as you might know it, rugby union, rugby league, the referee has to interpret the rule book. The whole point of having a referee out there is interpretation for the whole length of the game. So to suddenly say, well, now we're going to not do that, we're not going to make decisions, we're not going to make judgments, we're just going to apply a doubt, just makes the whole game, like, it changes the whole dynamic of the game. It's not cricket where it's black or white. If you're out, if we're not sure if you're out, you know, apply the doubt in that direction. They've made these decisions for 100 years, you know, 50-50 calls as we hear time and time again, 60-40, whatever, but they've made them. You know, Pete, I think we're all in agreement. It's a benefit of the doubt rule. Should it just be abolished? Is it just one of the most stupidest rules you've ever heard of?
I think it is stupid. And it is frustrating for fans. And I've heard players actually refer to the video referees, the lottery line. They don't know, honestly, what they're going to get back from it. It's true. I've heard that quote that they refer to as the lottery line. But, benefit of the doubt, on that case on Friday night, I don't know how they applied benefit of the doubt, unless they're looking at a completely different screen to what everyone else is looking at. I don't know how they applied benefit of the doubt to that. I also don't know how, if they can apply benefit of the doubt to a knock-on, why they can't apply benefit of the doubt to forward passes. They can't look at forward passes, despite all the technology that we have. I think the benefit of the doubt, as you said, it disadvantages the defensive team. There are some terrible put-downs of the ball which are given as tries, which I'm sure you guys would never have given as tries.
Well, they're not tries. They're only in sort of this year's interpretation of the... It's
terrible. It's got to go from a fan's point of view. It's a love of the game. It's a try or not a try. And personally, I'd like to see the referee on the field make more decisions than they do. Get rid of the benefit of the doubt.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you do get rid of maybe the referees going upstairs and only having coaches' challenges, you know, that could help alleviate that, where the referees are making more decisions, because they don't know if the coach is going to throw the flag. They're going to have to make a call, you know, 100 times out of 100 that way.
I think
could be.
Sorry, just to interrupt. I think the actual best way would be to just, if they just review every scoring play, the referee makes the decision, but they review that play, and if there's something wrong, then they, you know, then they say, no, it's got to go back because of this error or that error.
It is pretty simple. The NFL do it that way. I mean, it takes 2 minutes for the kicker to set up the kick. So he awards a try. The kicker goes back. He starts setting up his kick. Meanwhile, in the booth, they're having a look at it, and they either buzz down, it's all sweet, kick the goal,
yeah.
Or, guys, we've got to take a further look at that. And that's when he does the time off, and they do it. It would make the game a lot cleaner and a lot faster. And like you say, it would resolve pretty much the whole issue that we're currently under in that regard.
The question is, guys, would that try have still been given had the benefit of the doubt rule not been there?
No, there's no way. I don't know if either try would be given. I mean, we're even glossing over George Tapua because it was a 50-50 because you couldn't see. But really, under the actual rules, when the video ref is obscured, which he was in this case by the corner post, he's supposed to send it back to the referee to make a decision, and he didn't do that. He's supposed to say ref's call because the camera that could have shown if it was a try or not was obscured by the corner post. Touch judge was right there. He could have made that decision in consultation to the referee. That's what should have happened there. That decision was wrong in the way that it was given. I'm not saying that it shouldn't have been a try. I'm just saying that it shouldn't have been given that way. And obviously the second one was wrong because they've applied a doubt rule not to the actual grounding. And besides that fact, they got it wrong. I mean, it was clearly a knock-on. So the two video referees, Steve Clark and Paul Simpkins, have been sacked. Chris Ward and Bernard Sutton will take over the match on Saturday night, the Souths Canterbury game. They'll be doing that one, so they'll be on the hot seat. And guys, speaking of the hot seat, Bill Harrigan and Stuart Raper are certainly there. I think that they're, the behinds are burning. Are they still going to be there next year, or is it curtains for Harrigan and Raper? Tigers MS, what do you think?
Yeah, they'll be there next year. Let's be honest. I mean, like everyone's saying, you know, you've got to change this, got to change that. I don't see anyone has put their hand up and say, okay, we're going to do this or that. I do think the ARLC will actually have to do something at the end of the season. And they have to, they have to nut down some definite definitions. Of what constitutes this, what constitutes that. So when it does go to the video ref, because let's be honest, on-field refing has been okay. I mean, it hasn't been great, hasn't been horrible. The things that have been horrible this year have been the video ref. So
they've been the worst aspect, that's for sure. There's been some issues on-field, but probably no more than the usual.
Yeah, it's like they're looking for something that isn't there, which might be a case, which might be because of their coaching that they're getting. But I think one more year, we'll see. After that, yeah, then I think they're in a little bit of strife.
Pete, will they be there next year?
I think they will be there next year. As you said, it has been mainly the video ref decisions, and the two ones that stand out of these, the ones on Friday night plus the one from the first State of Origin game, of course, which is an absolute shocker as well.
I think about that when I thought, well, now you know how it feels, because most of those North Queensland players were...
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Look,
listen, the best team probably still won on Friday night, but at the end of the day, yeah, I wouldn't want Harrigan's job and that of Stuart Raper. So I'll be interested to see who would put their hand up for it.
They may go back to an ex player or ex-coach. I was happy when Harrigan was awarded the job. I didn't think it should go to a referee. I always thought that. They understand what it takes to be out there, whereas other people like a Stuart Raper doesn't. He's never done it. You do need someone that's done it to coach the guys that are doing it. It's as simple as that. So if they sack Harrigan, they need to find someone else that will fill his shoes. And I don't think there's anyone better than him. My concern is that Harrigan's ego sometimes gets in the way.
It's always been his problem.
It's always been the issue. He's very good at what he does, but sometimes he needs to learn to take the step backwards rather than the step forwards.
Well, we all remember the old story that when the video referee was first introduced and Harrigan was still around, they said that he had a problem of whether to go to the video ref or not, because his ego said he wanted to make a decision himself, but the other part of him wanted to see his image up on the big screen.
I'd heard that as well. It was good.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But, you know, if out of this we get, as Tigers MS said, a more clarification around the rules, then I guess it might be a good thing. And who knows, maybe they have basically said as a refereeing group, we need to referee not to what we have been refereeing, but to the letter of the law. So they realise that, no, it needs to be changed. And there's always that side of it too. They may be literally looking for these things because, you know, they've been trying to get these laws changed for years. No one's listening. And they decided, okay, well, now we'll referee like this and you'll see. That's another side of things. So we'll see how it all pans out. Look, I don't think Harrigan Raper will be there next year, but I think that, you know, they better have a good contingency plan in place if they are going to get rid of him, because it could even get worse than this.